Welcome to Local Talk Friday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. It's good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and through the spoken word. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with my good friend and neighbor Mike Metz of Milford Township and keeper of the Prairie Wind Prairie. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pat. How are you this morning?
Well, it's a good morning. It is above zero almost. It's right around there.
Those little critters out on the prairie, I notice when they move, little ice crystals fall off the plants. What little moisture is out there.
Perfect conditions for watching and observing trumpeter swans out at Ada Hayden. They usually go out to feed between 7:30 and 8 and come back in the evenings, late afternoon.
We've had a few out in our neighborhood in the fields. There's probably close to 200 birds I saw at one point yesterday.
And a pair of bald eagles were a mile from my house. So it is cold conditions, but it's also something to keep in mind this Friday, January 7th, 2022.
Well, it looks like the weather's going to be cold again today, folks, with a high of 12 and a low tonight at 9. But at least it's above zero and not below zero for the next few days. Warming Saturday to a high of 35 during the day and then a low in the nighttime hours of 15. Colder in the lows, 20s Sunday and Monday, then above freezing in the upper 30s into the middle of next week. No precipitation, rain, sleet, or snow into the forecast for the next week. Let's welcome Dennis Hart, who works so wonderfully at gathering the news for this week from the pages of our local newspaper.
The Ames Tribune did not publish print editions last Friday, New Year's Eve, or Saturday, New Year's Day, but the Trib did put stories on its website. On Friday, the Trib reported that federal health officials were pressing nursing home workers to get their coronavirus booster shots amid a spike in virus cases among staffers and a lag in booster vaccinations for nursing home residents and staff. The U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary called the Omicron variant of the virus lightning fast, and in his words, we can't afford another coronavirus surge in nursing homes. Virus cases among nursing home staffers across the nation jumped to more than 10,000 for the week ending December 27th, a rise of nearly 80% from the previous week, and staff deaths increased nationwide to 58. That was triple the number of nursing home staff deaths from the previous week. There was also word that the Omicron variant surge is putting children in the hospital across the nation in record numbers, and most of those children are not vaccinated. And there was a report that the Federal Centers for Disease Control had warned travelers against taking cruises because of the increased threat from the Omicron variant. The Trib's website on Saturday had word about the death of actress Betty White. She had been a mainstay on TV for more than 60 years in such legendary programs as The Mary Tyler Moore Show and The Golden Girls. She had started her TV career in 1949, when she did a daytime TV show for several hours a day. Betty White passed away at the age of 99, 17 days before she would have turned 100. The Trib also reported that a wind chill advisory would be in effect starting last Friday night for northern Iowa. The forecast called for possible wind chills of 35 below zero on Saturday morning, and those forecasts were pretty accurate. Snowfall hit much of Iowa last weekend, and temperatures plunged. The National Weather Service warned that frostbite could occur between 10 and 30 minutes on exposed skin or areas with inadequate clothing. Experts gave tips for preventing frostbite. Among them, such obvious ones as not staying outside too long, dressing in several layers of loose, warm clothing, wearing windproof and waterproof garments to protect yourself, and getting out of any wet clothing. There were other tips as well, such as wearing a hat that fully covers your ears, wearing mittens rather than gloves, and carrying emergency supplies and warm clothing if you were planning to go outside and travel. The Trib also had word about some new state laws that would take effect around the United States on New Year's Day. Among them, new abortion restrictions in New Hampshire, new laws on animal welfare in California, which became the place with the toughest living space standards for breeding pigs. California also became the first state to require a $15 an hour minimum wage for businesses with more than 25 workers. In Montana, recreational marijuana became legal. In Illinois and Oregon, new laws ban discrimination based on physical characteristics such as hairstyle. And a number of states imposed new criminal justice laws. And in Georgia, a new law increases the amount people can earn before they start paying state taxes. And the Trib reported on the opening of several new restaurants in central Iowa last year. Staffing was a challenge for almost every restaurant because of the coronavirus pandemic, and businesses responded by using a variety of strategies, including limiting their hours of operation, serving fewer tables, and focusing on carryout and delivery. Supply chain issues caused delays for most of the new restaurants, which also faced challenges around masking, social distancing, and vaccination status. But in spite of all that, new eateries did open in Ames. Among them, Sweet Caroline's on Main Street, Ichabod on Welch Avenue, Jersey Mike's on Lincoln Way, Time to Roll inside the North Grand Mall, and Noir on Kellogg Avenue. Nyland's Cafe reopened in Colo, and Sweet Oaks opened in Collins. Juniper and Olive Company opened in Jewel, while Scooter's Cafe opened in Huxley. Sunday's print edition of the Trib reported that funeral services for an Iowa State University student who had been killed in a car accident had taken place last week. 20-year-old Avery Anderson died after his car lost traction on a frost-covered road about a mile from his home in Atlantic and rolled into a ditch. Anderson was a member of Atlantic High School's class of 2019. He was studying meteorology at ISU. About 400 people attended his funeral service at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Members of Anderson's fraternity, along with youth from the church and members of the Bible camp where he had worked, and some of his fellow Atlantic High School alumni, all volunteered to sing at his service. The Trib also reported that Ames City officials are expected to sign an agreement this month that could signal the end of a long-running water conflict. It's a complex issue. Local municipalities like Ames want to develop housing in territory that is serviced by rural water providers, but those providers often refuse to give up their territories. The cities argue they don't offer infrastructure that meets city standards. Ames has reached an agreement with the Xenia Rural Water District, which surrounds Ames utility customers to the north, west, and south. Through that agreement, Ames will be able to buy property north and south of the city. Tuesday's paper reported that Anita Rollins was sworn in as a member of the Ames City Council on Monday. She became the council's newest member and the first black woman to serve on the council. She said in her words, "I feel very humbled and honored." She will represent the city's third ward, a seat previously held by David Martin, who did not seek another term. Rollins is the secretary of the Ames NAACP chapter, the former director of Iowa State's Science Bound program, and a former Ames school board member. She was sworn in along with fellow council member Gloria Betcher and Mayor John Hala, both of whom were incumbents. The Trib also reported that Hy-Vee had announced it would create a retail security team to have officers trained by the company in its stores this year. The grocer has already placed officers at several locations. A company spokesperson said the officers will have the same tools that third-party security guards and off-duty law enforcement officers who work in a security capacity already have. Many of the officers come from law enforcement backgrounds. Hy-Vee expects to schedule one security officer on any given shift during each state's operating hours. Hy-Vee said the introduction of the security team is not a response to any particular incident at the company's grocery stores. And the Trib had a feature story about John Dawkins of Boone. He's very active in the community. He's Mr. Conductor at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad and serves as a crossing guard at Sacred Heart School. He cooks for the Boone Area Humane Society, at Salvation Army board meetings, at auctions, and at dinner theaters. He's also a fill-in cook at Sacred Heart. He just loves to cook. And now he's written a book called The Cooking Conductor. He plans to donate proceeds from the book to the railroad. Wednesday's Trib reported that Story County supervisors had voted to require county employees to be fully vaccinated against the coronavirus or provide a weekly negative test. The supervisors' vote aligns county policy with an emergency temporary standard issued by the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration. That standard requires employers with 100 or more workers to be vaccinated against the virus or provide a negative test for the disease each week. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on the issue today, but OSHA plans to start citing employers over violations after this coming Monday. On Monday night, the Nevada School Board issued a similar mandate for its employees. District Superintendent Steve Gray said the Iowa Association of School Boards advised the vaccination policy be put in place in time to meet next week's deadline. And the Trib reported on five development projects to watch in this year, 2022, in Ames. One of them, a pedestrian bridge to Jack Trice Stadium. The Gateway Pedestrian Bridge and a new RV parking lot to be connected by the bridge to the stadium are both expected to be finished in time for the 2022 football season. Another project of note, the completion of work on a new high school in Ames. The new school is expected to be finished by the end of April, with an opening set for August. Demolition of the old high school building will take place sometime between the end of this year and March of next year. Other projects of note include work on a new downtown plaza. It's scheduled to begin this year and won't be finished until 2023. And construction will start on two new housing developments in Ames. One is the Baker subdivision, consisting of single-family homes, townhouses, and a three-story, 23-unit building at 321 State Avenue. The other is the Ansley Ames home development, just west of the Iowa State University Research Park and the Tedesco Learning Center. Yesterday's paper reported that the Boone School Board had voted to require district employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus or undergo testing for the virus each week. The policy goes into effect on Monday. The district employs more than 400 people. At the same time, the Trib reported that Republicans in the Iowa State House say they plan to introduce a bill that would prohibit businesses from asking about or maintaining records of a person's medical treatment status, including vaccinations. That bill would also prohibit businesses from hiring or firing someone based on their vaccination status. It also would ban denying goods and services, providing incentives, or segregation and discrimination based on that status. The state legislature goes back into session on Monday. The Trib also reported that Iowa's Board of Regents would soon decide whether to get rid of a requirement that prospective university students submit standardized test scores as part of their applications to Iowa State University, the University of Iowa, or to the University of Northern Iowa. If the regents get rid of the requirement to submit SAT or ACT test scores, Iowa would follow a national trend for test-optional college admissions. The regents will talk about this during their meeting next Wednesday. And the Trib had word that the second company that's proposing to build a carbon capture pipeline in Iowa and elsewhere would make its case in public meetings in Ames and in Boone last night. Navigator CO2 Ventures wants to build its pipeline through several states, including Iowa. And that is your summary of the past week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, ready, willing, and able to take this coming weekend off before returning to this same virtual seat on Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll report on what's been making news all around the state. In the meantime, here's hoping we both have a healthy, safe, and happy weekend.
When I loop by the road tonight there will be no quarreling. Everything is gonna be alright. Oh, I see by the angel beside me that love has a reason to shine. You're the one I adore. Come over here and give me more than when I loot. This dude thinks you're fine. Oh, interlude, interlude, my little apple. Winterlude by the corn in the field. Winterlude, let's go down to the chapel. Then come back and cook up a meal. We'll come out when the skating rink glistens by the sun and the old crossroads sign. The snow is so cold, but our love can be bold. Winterlude, this dude thinks you'll find. Winterlude, winterlude, my little daisy. Winterlude by the telephone wire. Winterlude, it's making me lazy. Come on, sit by the logs and the fire. The moonlight reflects from the window where the snowflakes that cover the sand. Come on tonight, everything will be tight. Winterlude, this dude thinks you're grand.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News, and the music was Winterlude by Bob Dylan. In 2021, North Iowa learned that not one but two large-scale carbon emissions pipelines are proposed to be constructed in the area. The two pipelines, one belonging to Summit Carbon Solutions and the other to Navigator CO2 Ventures, LLC, are projected to span across a combined 3,300 miles and run through five different states.
Both of the proposed routes of the pipeline pass through North Iowa. Here to help us learn more is Mahmoud Fatil. Hello.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm good today, but this is another development that I feel like our listeners need to learn more about. So where to start? I believe there's a headquarters of Summit Carbon Solutions here in Ames.
Yes, that's correct, Pat. There was a headquarters there located at a university complex, a research facility, and that's where the Summit headquarters is. They're responsible for the Midwest Carbon Express pipeline that they're proposing to span the length of Iowa diagonally. Most of it is tracing roughly along the same path where the DAPL petroleum pipeline went through back in 2015, 2016.
Now, are these, this pipeline is to interlink the ethanol plants? Is that correct?
Yes, that's as far as we understand it. Currently, they're going to be sourcing their carbon dioxide, which is what they're after in order to ostensibly sequester it underground. And they're going to be sourcing that carbon dioxide from what their plans and what their public informational meetings have promised from local ethanol plants. There is some speculation that they may also try to go after coal stacks for coal-fired electric generation facilities, which we do have throughout the state as well.
The mechanics of this seem somewhat daunting, and as you mentioned, the Dakota Access Pipeline, I believe that was amounted to several billions. These are not small endeavors.
No, absolutely not. If Summit, the proposed pipeline, Midwest Carbon Express, is comes to fruition, it will be 2,000 miles in length. And I mean, currently there's only, I believe, 5,000 miles total of CCS or carbon CO2 pipeline infrastructure in the United States. So this would be adding equivalently roughly half of the amount that's currently available.
The proposed line, you mentioned the Dakota Access Pipeline. I believe there was an issue about eminent domain concerning that pipeline. Can we assume that that will be a part of the plan for this pipeline also?
Absolutely, Pat. The use of the eminent domain to build large interstate projects like this has been something of a contested issue. It goes back to a court case regarding Kelo. Typically, eminent domain is used for public works projects, you know, things like you think of a highway, a road, perhaps even telephone lines, electric lines, things like that, wherein it provides a public good or a public service to the community. Now, the questions arise for a private for-profit company such as Summit or Dakota Access, for that matter. Should there be usage of eminent domain to effectively seize people's property in order to see these projects come to fruition? Part of the issue is they like to promote themselves as a common carrier, meaning that they would open up their pipeline to other customers in order to transport carbon dioxide as well. And that was an interesting thing that came up yesterday in the Story County public informational meeting regarding Navigator, the second of two pipeline projects being proposed for Iowa, when they flat out said, you know, there was concerns that the whole process of CCS or carbon capture and sequestration is actually helping to promote or allow for fossil fuels to live another day. And there's some speculation that they're going to be using enhanced oil recovery. They're going to be using the CO2 for enhanced oil recovery in order to, you know, squeeze out the last drops of oil from some areas. And the Navigator folks yesterday in Story County, they went on record and they said, you know, absolutely not. We're going to storage our carbon permanently because we get paid more through tax credits to do that. There's a better incentive for us to do that as opposed to using it for enhanced oil recovery and other usages.
Now, enhanced oil recovery, in another term, is that fracking?
Yeah, it's a matter of extreme resource extraction. It's like heavy-duty fracking to take out oil and gas, which is otherwise not available through conventional fracking. They would push the CO2 down in order to draw up any last drops of petroleum.
And you mentioned the last vestige of the fossil fuel formula that's, I guess, that's being imposed. as we view this from a purely financial perspective, they're investing, proposing billions. Is it possible that these billions might be invested in something a bit more renewable than fossil fuel industry? Is that one of your arguments?
Absolutely. What we believe is, I mean, we had a 75-degree day in December here in Iowa. We haven't had snow in many parts of the state until beyond Christmas. And the issue is that we believe that fossil fuels are driving this. I mean, we have proof, essentially, that fossil fuels are driving the climate change. And as such, we should really be getting off of the addiction of fossil fuels. It's like telling an addict, well, we'll just do less, or we'll drink less, or we'll do less drugs, rather than saying you need to stop drugs and drinking altogether. In a way, what we need to be doing is promoting renewable energy, that be that solar, be that wind, something like that, as opposed to these CCS projects, which essentially are capturing carbon, and the fossil fuels industry then says, well, we can still burn fossil fuels a bit longer while we transition because we are trying to capture the carbon and take it out of the atmosphere.
Is this another way for the fossil fuel industry to kind of perpetuate itself, do you feel?
Absolutely. It's a way for the fossil fuel industry to perpetuate itself, to live another day, despite the climate emergency, which we're all seeing come out all around us daily. And it also, it's a money grab. You know, there are a lot of monies allocated by the federal government in order to address climate change. And a lot of them are using this to get tax credits. You know, they're seeing this as a way to basically pilfer the monies that are set aside in order to promote renewable energies. Carbon capture is not a solution. It's actually causing, in many instances, the usage of 20 to 30% more energy at these ethanol facilities in order to capture the carbon.
You're very succinct, and essentially you seem to be a spokesperson for an issue that's going to be kind of front and center for all of Iowans. I recently saw a news broadcast where our previous governor and ambassador to China, Mr. Terry Branstad, singled out the Sierra Club as an organization that he was essentially demeaning, and setting out an alert. How do you feel that these nonprofit conservation organizations, why are they being focused upon in this instance for this CO2 pipeline?
Well, I think that it's a strategy that Branstad is using. You know, he's recognizing there's a familiar, you know, rural and urban divide in many areas, not just Iowa, and he's trying to exploit that. He's trying to turn rural folks or conservative folks against environmentalists or liberal folks, you know, which would typically be the type of people that would be engaged with something like the Sierra Club. When in reality, the climate crisis is facing all of us, the climate emergency. And, you know, it's not a time to play politics. I will note that Branstad, in order to push DAPL through, had two people appointed to the three-person panel of the IUB who were favorable to the project, you know, to ensure that it went through. So he does have vested interest in some of these things, and he has played politics in the past. We do know that Vilsack's son is involved, I believe, in Summit. And, you know, the perverse interests here for politicians and people who have been in the public sphere is rather large. You know, as you've mentioned, these are millions and billions of dollars that we're talking about. And any time that there are federal subsidies being put out, you know, people come running around and trying to capture those dollars, and these corporations are no different.
As you trumpet this cause, are there websites or where can people gain more information concerning your policies concerning these CO2 pipelines?
Well, our organization is Great Plains Action Society. GreatPlainsAction.org is a good place to follow. If you're on the social medias, we do have a few pages. There's a Iowa Pipeline Resistance Coalition. The Sierra Club, as you had mentioned, is doing good work. Science, Environmental, and Health Network, as well, is following it and reporting good information.
Okay. Is there parting thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Absolutely. Carbon capture and sequestration is not a solution that that islands deserve for the climate emergency, regardless of your political beliefs or what stripe. And we need a solution that's going to ensure the safety of Iowans today and future generations, such as renewable energies, wind and solar.
Well, thank you so much for being on Local Talk, Mahmoud Fatil, and you're at greatplainsaction.org.
That's it. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yes, it was a pleasure speaking. Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm hold of your love and mine. To feel you all around me and to take your hand along the sand, I bet I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes I'd find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing, 'twould make me sing, I bet I may as well try and catch the wind. All my blues behind. For standing in your heart is where I want to be and long to be. I bet I may as well try and catch the wind.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, and I'm your host, Pat Schlarbaum, with co-host Mike Metz and engineer Mike Murphy. Let's welcome Susan Gwiazda, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Hi, Pat. Good to be here.
It's great to have you with us. Do you have any January reminders or announcements, please?
Just a reminder that our first regularly scheduled city council meeting of the year is coming up on January 11th. We'll get back to business as usual at that point. That meeting starts at 6 p.m. You can stream it off our city website. You can watch it on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, or you can attend in person at the city council chambers, 515 Clark Avenue.
Boy, so courteous of you to...
And also just a... I was just going to say, just a reminder that all city news and information, including a calendar of events, is available on our website, cityofames.org. It is, you will be impressed by the amount of information you can find about all our city departments there.
Yes, it is quite impressive. And I certainly appreciate all the technology that you make available to citizens of Ames. We're actually going to the meetings is no longer a requirement. And one of those side benefits, I guess, from all the necessity to explore.
Pat, that's a great point. I just want to say that we have heard from our local health officials that they are concerned about a COVID surge, and that if you have the opportunity not to gather in person, I think for a lot of people that makes sense, that you would use an alternate way to stay involved. And so we continue to offer those streaming services for people who would prefer, for whatever reason, to be able to stay connected from a mobile device.
Very good. Yeah. Words to live by always. And for the rest of my existence, every winter, more masks and conscientious contact is probably going to be a part of the plan, because I don't like getting the flu. I don't like getting colds. And it seems like the masks are really helping.
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot about just, ways to contain viruses and stay healthier just in general when we're close to one another. And so certainly I encourage everybody to do whatever it takes to keep themselves healthy. And if watching virtually helps you, absolutely take advantage of those services that we provide on our website.
Well, I see you brought along one of your coworkers today, the Chief of Electric Services, Mr. Wren.
So I brought with us Chase Wren, who's an electrical engineer with our Ames Electric Services Department. Chase is one of our relatively new employees. He comes to Ames by way of Mississippi. Maybe he can talk a little bit about his background, but he also wants to bring up a new service that we're offering at Ames Electric, which is pretty new and exciting and is another way to use our technology.
Well, welcome to Local Talk, Mr. Wren, Chase Wren.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Morning, Susan. Morning, Pat. I hope everybody's staying warm this kind of chilly morning.
It is. It's almost rude, isn't it? I mean, this is below zero before sunrise.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was talking to my mom last night telling her I was going to be a local celebrity here in Ames by going on a radio talk show. And I asked her, what was the temperature back home in Mississippi? And she said it was 19 degrees. And I said, you know, I will take 19 degrees and negative numbers any day.
Well, welcome to the Midwest.
Boy, it is, yeah.
But what, so you have a background in Mississippi?
I do. I grew up in Mississippi. My hometown is Oxford, Mississippi. So I was surrounded by Ole Miss fans and red and blue colors everywhere, and with the Rebels, as they're called, I decided to be a Rebel within the Rebels. And so I went to school at Mississippi State University, which is their rival school, just because they had a better engineering program than Ole Miss. But that's where I got my background, was in electrical engineering at Mississippi State. And then I decided to continue my education by getting my international MBA at Madrid, Spain, where I lived there for a year. And then also I worked for a startup tech company in Barcelona for about 6 months. And then that kind of adventure ended for me. And I came back to the States, back home to Mississippi, and then decided to pursue getting my professional engineering license. And when I was looking for jobs, looking for an opportunity while in Mississippi, I stumbled here upon Ames, Iowa. There was just this really good opportunity working for the city to gain experience, to gain knowledge, and to help me stay on track and pursue my career goal of getting my engineering license.
Very interesting. Mississippi State, could that be one of the Morrill Act or agricultural engineering schools like Iowa State?
Yes, sir. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in fact, even though I'm here in Iowa, I do feel like I'm back at home, because there are a lot of similarities at Mississippi State, just like Iowa State. They do agriculture. I would say their best programs are agriculture, veterinarians, and engineering. Those are the three fields that's what you want to pursue. That's the school you go to. And I know Iowa State is very similar. I know Iowa State has a great engineering, agriculture, and a vet program. So I kind of, in some ways, I'm far away from home, but and yet I feel very comfortable.
I would think there's a philosophy in the citizenry here at Ames that might be similar to your community there in Mississippi, Oxford, and then also where you went to college at Mississippi State. And we're pretty proud of our electric services here in Ames. I'm sure you have been made aware.
Yeah, no, I really have seen that, especially from my very first experience, and I think for also many others from that derecho event that we experienced last year in August of 2020. You know, that's actually kind of what got me started on this project, on this texting service that we're now able to provide for the city. From that severe weather event, that derecho, I really got the chance to see more of the city, got to interact with a lot of the city citizens here in the town. And I really learned that I wanted to have a better communication with our electric services and also with our people here in the city of Ames. And so kind of working with MilSoft, who is our provider for our OMS system, outage management system, our OMS, and then also working with TexPower, I kind of started this journey in last year in 2021, where we got the texting service implemented and partnered with our OMS system. And then what it works is that people who want to have a convenient way of reporting a power outage at their home, they can still call the power outage number, which is that 515-239-5240. But to add a more convenient way, as well as reporting a power outage, they can also text the same number of their power outage. So they will text the word out and then a message of their address that they are reporting an outage will pop up, and then they will type the letter A to confirm that is the address that they are reporting their outage. And once when they type A and send, then that's it. That's all there is. It's really as easy and convenient as texting is. And so we found that is just a really convenient and effective way of communicating, not just with us to our customers, but also for our customers to communicate with us. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to have this communication tool available so that way for reporting outages, but also for doing status. They can text the word status and see how long it will take until the power is restored, or if there's other people in their neighborhood who are experiencing an outage, they can kind of have a more of an idea of how the city's performing and how our team here at Electric Services is trying to get power restored quickly and safely as possible, especially with, you know, as funny as it is, when power goes out, it always seems to be the most inconvenient time. So it's one thing that we try to have people be more aware of just how quickly we can get power restored.
Well, you seem to be a man of the times, Mr. Wren. Any time that you can convert a struggle, a tragedy, whatever life befalls upon us and adapt to that and convert it into something that enhances our communication skills would seem to be on the path of something of real value. You've come along at a really good time, it sounds like.
Yeah, I got to say, in just my short time that I've been here in the city of Ames, I've learned so much, and I just really value the people that I work with here in the city. You know, it's funny because I started at a time that was very stressful. Mm-hmm. I started in March of 2020, believe it or not. I moved here a week before my start date, and I was unpacking, getting everything settled in, putting things up on the walls and in cabinets. And that weekend, just before Monday, before I was supposed to start, that's when the entire nation went on lockdown.
Yeah.
And so there was just so much anxiety, so much uncertainty, so much unknown, and I just really had no idea, you know, what the future holds. But through that uncertainty, I developed these skills, you know, and one of them being most important is the communication skill, and just communicating with everyone, and just really, you know, just kind of getting through that tough time. And then, you know, shortly, a few months later, again, August 2020 with that derecho, I also gained some really valuable skills again, kind of going back on mm-hmm. on the communication and just how important it is to communicate with our customers, but also for our customers to communicate with us. And so I just have really learned so much in a short time. And some may say I've done kind of a trial by fire.
Yeah.
But it's all, I look at it as all a positive thing, you know, just gaining, learning, and growing here in the city of Ames.
Well, these are all really good topics. I think we're fortunate that whoever gave you the hire was looking out for the better interests of Ames, Iowa. It kind of goes without saying. So, Susan, what would you make of that remark?
We're very pleased that Chase has joined our team. I just wanted to clarify one thing that we tend to do at the City of Ames is sometimes we speak in jargon. And when Chase was talking about the OMS system, that's the outage management system.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the system we use to report outages. And whether you text or whether you call in, as Chase said, that number is
515-239-5240.
So text us or call us. That number remains the same. That's the outage management system. That's the number you call. It is automated. You will not get mm-hmm. a person. You will get either you'll leave a voicemail or you'll text in. And as Chase said, they'll respond as long as your account is associated with that number. I don't know if Chase wants to just talk a little bit about if your account is not associated, there's some foundational work you might need to do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Susan. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, sometimes I kind of forget with the acronyms that, you know, not everyone kind of knows that. So thank you so much for pointing that out. Yes, our outage management system, our OMS system, that is where, yes, if for anyone who calls or texts an outage, that's how we are able to see and respond as quickly as possible.
And what's that
for
number?
For that number, it is our outage number is 515-239-5240. And for people who would like to receive the texting service or wants to have a way to update their accounts, when they text the word out or status or Ames, kind of like the key word, if their number is not on their utility account, they will receive a text message. And they will say, it will say something like, you know, welcome to the City of Ames alerts. We don't see this number in our records. Please call the customer service number to have your number updated on your account. Here in the near future, there also will be a link provided in that text message where people will, instead of they don't feel calling customer service or if it's just not a convenient time to call, this link that they will be able to click on will direct them to our City of Ames webpage where they can then update their utility account with their mobile phone number to receive text messages for the future.
Yeah, very good. Be included in that database. And is there anything else, Susan or Mr. Wren?
I would say probably just one other thing is that, again, with this being a very useful and powerful communication tool for future events, I mean, we do foresee using this, again, you know, kind of going back to the Drake Show in August 2020, when there's just a city-wide outage and you know, there's so many customers, so many people just really not sure when power will be restored. Using this communication tool will be, I think, a more effective way of just letting our customers know that, like, okay, you know, we're, you know, we got 25% of the city back, 50%, 75%. So we'll be able to more effectively communicate with our customers compared to that ratio that we had where I believe that our ways were through social media and word of mouth. So I feel very optimistic and positive that this will be a very useful way to communicate them, especially during severe weather. And then another thing, another event that I can also see using is, you know, during the summertime, there's a huge stress on our electric infrastructure. You know, there are really days where it's just so hot and everyone has their ACs cranked up and, you know, maybe they're washing dishes, maybe they're doing laundry, you know, all these things. And it really puts a lot of stress on our electric grid. And so during those kind of peak demand days, those days that it really puts a lot of stress on it, we can be able to use this communication tool to ask our customers if they can just postpone using the dishwasher or the dryer or maybe turning off unnecessary lights to kind of help lower that peak demand, kind of shave as much off of that peak demand for those really, really hot days. And that would really help us, but also would help the customers as well. And so just, again, kind of going back to that skill of just having that communication with electric services, communicating with our customers, but also our customers communicating with us, we can really help for future events, make things a little bit better and a little bit easier.
Okay. Boy, a lot of good messages there. I hope you have a good weekend, Susan Guiasta. Thank you, Chase Wren.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And hope everyone stays warm this Iowa winter. You know, this is my second winter, so I'm still trying to get used to these negative numbers. But I'm slowly acclimating here up in Ames.
Enjoy all the waterfowl out at Ada Hayden. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
If I go walking past the town signs, further on down the highway, will there be something waiting for me, or am I fooling myself again? You know I left this all behind, long before you came across my mind. Nothing kept me from leaving that day, but that day was nothing like today. I fell on my knees then, I prayed the change would spare me, that I could stay, oh that I could stay the same old way. The times are flying right before me, it's not like before when I was blind. I remember seeing only the colors of the beautiful western skies. But now things are much deeper, it makes the darks much darker. But the light shine brighter on your beautiful face. I fell on my knees then, I prayed the change could spare me, that I could stay, oh, that I could stay the same old way.
Welcome, ISU Extension Marketing and Outreach Individual, Amber Wengert. Welcome to Local Talk.
Thanks, Pat. Good morning.
Hey, great to have you with us once again. How is the world of ISU Extension?
Going strong. Excited to kick off a new year with lots of new programming and just happy to be here.
Well, ISU Extension, so you're an extension of the Agriculture College?
Iowa State Extension is an extension of really the entire university. So,
okay.
We cover programming for all areas.
Oh, good to know. Thank you for that clarification.
So can I tell you a little bit about some adult programming we have?
Oh, great.
In January?
I'm sure our listeners are anxious to learn more.
Yes. We actually have some gardening programming coming up. You know, it's not really garden season, but for those garden enthusiasts, it's still fun throughout the wintertime to kind of more like plan.
Oh, yeah.
You can design, plan your garden.
The seed catalogs are in the mail. They're going to be arriving. Yeah.
So when you're, you know, when it does get up and warm, you can get out there and get started right away. So, and we have a planting design live stream series. It's just a way for you to connect with other garden enthusiasts. It's January 11th and January 18th, two different dates. They're 6 to 7 o'clock at night. And January 11th, their topic is planting design models. So you can just learn about the arrangement of plants. It's going to highlight several different planting models that you can follow to arrange plants in different ways, and depending on your different styles. So we're holding that here in our office for you to come in. And it's kind of a live stream, so it's kind of like a Zoom, but for you to come in, have some snacks, network with other gardeners, local garden enthusiasts.
And you're off
on
of
on the 8th.
And your address is there on Bell Avenue?
Yes, we're 1421 South Bell, and it's Suite 107.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're familiar with where, like, the DMAC Hunzik Care Center is, we're just right across the street.
Okay.
Most people know where that's at.
Yeah.
Yep, and then the 18th, they're going to do more of, like, how to design your garden and how to, you know, draw it out on paper, how to draw different plant symbols, and different type of elevation views for your garden. So that will be really interesting for garden enthusiasts. Get that garden design so when you're ready to plant, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other exciting, like, horticulture plant workshop we have coming up on February 1st, that's also here at our office from 6 to 7 p.m., and that one's more of a hands-on workshop. You're going to learn how to propagate plants, utilizing, like, cuttings, divisions, and layering. It's interactive, and you'll have to presentation's interactive, and create more plants to give to your friends and create your own jungle. So that will be exciting.
Your own jungle?
You can create an indoors jungle. That's always great for the wintertime, right?
Right. Think big.
Yes, exactly. Our last adult program, I do have one I kind of want to highlight. You've probably heard some of us talk about it before. It's our Interact program. It's for adults and children. Something that we've kind of changed about this program, though, is it's for all adults and children, 3rd through 6th grade. Previously, it had been just for, you know, custodial grandparents or foster families. So they opened it up to all adults and children. It's a 6-week program starting January 31st. It is virtual, and it focuses on family values, setting goals, learning how to connect with each other, how to overcome difficult thoughts and feelings, and more. The adults complete some training each week, and then they get together to discuss in an hour-long Zoom. And then children also have a special Zoom that they can connect with other peers as well. So in order for you to have questions or participate in that program, that is sponsored through CYFAR. So if you want to email CYFAR, it's CYFAR at iastate.edu, and they can get you connected and registered for that program.
That was CYFAR. I'll have these on our website.
Yep.
At iastate.edu. Okay.
Yep, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 6 weeks, are there a variety of presenters then, or how is that? It seems like a powerful amount of learning. What a great program.
Yeah, there's different topics each week, different things that they discuss each week. So I'm not sure how many different presenters there are, but the different topics each week that they cover.
Of the full 6 weeks, yeah.
Uh-huh, yep.
Well, you're really to be complimented. That's what a great service to provide a university community. But these are the type of amenities that I think lend themselves well to the Zoom process.
Right. It makes it convenient for anyone who can join. So.
Uh-huh. Well, Amber, do you have any others for us at this time?
I have quite a few youth programs. We can see how many we can get through here.
Okay.
In January as well.
Okay.
The 14th specifically is a no school day for the Ames community. So we do have a program in our office from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's called Experience Science. Youth in kindergarten through 6th grade, they can come and explore science through activities and what changes happen through experiments. Note, we just encourage the youth to come out and stay warm, have fun, and learning and doing some experiments with us
uh-huh.
on January 14th.
Okay, we got a couple more minutes.
Okay. Last one we have starting this year is a partnership we have going with Ryman Gardens. It's called Pick a Better Snack. So the first one is January 15th. It's going to be held the 3rd Saturday every month at Ryman Gardens from 10:30 to 11:30. And the idea of this series, you can come to any date, and you don't have to, you know, attend every single one. But you're going to discover new ideas for snack time, and with fun, interactive lessons. in. Each class, we're going to have an extension activity tied to the garden, hand-on gardening activities, crafts, and a taste test of a new featured fruit or vegetable each month.
Oh, I love it. And that's going to be at Ryman Gardens.
Yes. Yep. We're excited for this new one.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. Amber Wingert with ISU Extension. Really appreciate you coming on Local Talk.
Yes, thank you.
Have a good weekend. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. on Fridays at 89.1 FM. And tell your friends far and wide, KHOI is streaming live at khoyfm.org. And hit play KHOI FM button. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to the website khoifm.org.
KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Thank you, Local Talk producer Lyd Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Friday report. Thank you, engineer Mike Murphy, and thanks to our guests Mahoud Fatil, Susan Guiazda, Chase Wren, and Amber Wingert. And thank you, co-host Mike Metz. This is Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard were Bob Dylan, Winterlude, Donovan Catch the Wind, Chad Elliott, Same Old Way. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Adagio at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
This is KHOI, Story City, Ames, and surrounding area.